Brazil won its record fifth title thanks to two second-half goals from star player Ronaldo. He redeemed himself after a poor performance in the last World Cup final. His heroics capped one of the most memorable tournaments in history. NPR's Tom Goldman prepared this report.
Hard to tell who was more excited after Ronaldo's second goal, the TV announcer on Spanish language Univision, or Ronaldo himself. After all, this was his crowning moment, twice beating the world's best goalkeeper, German Oliver Kahn, and doing so after playing so poorly in the last World Cup final when Brazil lost to France. But today, it was obvious Ronaldo wasn't going to hide behind that bad memory of 1998. He wore silver shoes and sported an attention-grabbing haircut that looked like he intended to shave his head but missed a patch in front. In the end, his talent commanded the world's attention. 8 goals in the tournament are the most by a player since 1970, and Brazil's fifth title gives this World Cup what seems to be a normal ending.
Even though it has the appearance of business as usual, it is very much anything but.
Soccer analyst Seamus Mallon says a Brazil victory obscures the fact that this World Cup was one of a kind, a month of absolute anarchy. Over and over, David's sword and Goliath fell with a thud. Soccer powers Argentina, France, and Portugal didn't make it out of the first round. Italy lost in the second. They all either hinted or said directly that they were tired. Mallon believes it wasn't just a feeble excuse.
The real powers in the game more and more now are having their players play their club soccer, their professional soccer, with teams in Europe for the most part, where they are now on a killing regimen of games. There are too many games, too many competitions, and not enough time between the end of the season, May 15th, and the beginning of the World Cup this time around.
But even if sluggish superstars had eaten their Wheaties, they still might not have been able to fend off a group of well-trained, well-coached little teams that simply sneered at soccer's hierarchy.
That is it. What an upset today. Senegal stuns the defending champs.
In the very first game of the tournament, televised on ESPN, Senegal beat France and sent a message that the gaps in world soccer are closing. Several other teams reinforced the message, none more dramatically than tournament co-host South Korea, which got to the semifinals after never having won a match in previous World Cups.
My name is Hang Seok Lee. I'm the managing editor of the Korea Times, which is the oldest English language newspaper in Korea.
Hong Suk Lee's office in Seoul is a stone's throw from the huge square in front of City Hall that became a gathering place for millions of Koreans who watched their team on big screen TVs. Lee marveled at how happy they were.
In the past, they came out to vent out their anger over something. For example, a large number of Korean people came out to the street during the Japanese colonial rule in 1910. And also a massive number of people took to the street in the 70s and the 90s. They were protesting against military regimes. But this time around, they were there to celebrate something.
From the capital of Ankara to this restaurant called Meze in Washington, D.C., Turkish fans rejoiced as well. In its first World Cup since 1954, Turkey got to the semifinals and beat South Korea yesterday for third place. The talk at Meze was about how the team's performance would boost Turkey's troubled economy, even help correct societal problems. Ambitious and probably unreal expectations to put on a bunch of soccer games, but at the very least, it was obvious those games did wonders for self-image. 21-year-old Sirhut Aztürk spoke for many people from small countries who relished the positive attention their nations got when their soccer teams played so well.
I had friends that I haven't seen for 3 or 4 years, and I saw them like last week, and they're like, I never would think Turkey made it this far. And I was like, don't ever underestimate it. It was just great to see people I haven't talked to for years, and them even coming up and saying something for me, congratulating me.
For American soccer fans, this was a World Cup of excitement and sleep deprivation. The huge time differences with tournament co-hosts Japan and South Korea turned the U.S. faithful into nocturnal creatures. Soccer historian David Wasser often found himself on deserted streets heading for a bar or soccer party.
I was driving along the streets at 2:30 in the morning and thinking, what the hell am I doing? I mean, why am I not asleep like everybody else? I started to think that it was something wrong with me.
until he got to where he was going and felt a special camaraderie with other night owls. More often than not, they were rewarded with a thrilling performance by the U.S. team. The Americans made it to the quarterfinals and impressed many in the world soccer community. And while the U.S. team showed it belongs, perhaps the U.S. fans, in their sleepy devotion, set a standard that even seasoned Brazilian fans might want to emulate. Many in Brazil all but deserted their team when it struggled to qualify for the tournament. They obviously forgot rule number one about the World Cup. It takes on a life of its own. To borrow an old sports cliche, anything can happen. And just about every team in this year's World Cup can swear to that. Tom Goldman, NPR News.